faithful, swift, passionate, blind, and wondrous. All these are faces of love. In a moment, young Kate Wakefield, venturing into today's world of confusing freedoms. Brought to you by Four-Way Nasal Spray, gives you the fastest decongestant possible.
Mystery meat again. The food hasn't changed since the last time I was in college, but I have. 12 years later, 12 gray hairs. The only gray hairs in the entire class. So, I tried Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It has no peroxide, just covers up gray without changing your natural color. Loving Care made my hair softer and shinier, and two boys wanted my number.
Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It's good for your hair.
Julie, I haven't had this in years.
Mom, you're doing fine.
Oh, poor chick.
5 minutes, Clark.
Let's sit down. We're meeting your father for dinner. How do I look?
You always look pretty.
Thanks, sweetheart.
Especially your hair. Mom, the class is starting.
Oh. Even when you can't hold up any longer, your hair can with FinalNet. FinalNet is not an aerosol. There's no wasteful propellant. It's concentrated to hold your hair all day. FinalNet holds up longer than you do.
Your marvelous party, Holly.
Oh, thank you, and thank you for coming. Goodbye. Oh, I hate to have the party end, Eric. Come, sit down and talk to me.
Delighted, Holly. It's been a smashing good party.
I just love having people around me. It's been a wonderful 15th anniversary. Ned's been so sweet. Wasn't his toast to me divine?
All you could ask for.
Maybe we have a chance for another 15 years. But you know, the one who surprised me tonight was Kate Wakefield. That little speech she made about marriage. Marriage is the most beautiful way for two people to live.
I wonder if she believes it.
Oh, she's a young widow, so she should know.
Who is Kate Wakefield?
Well, I thought you would ask that question before the weekend was over.
She's a rather unusual girl.
Well, she surprised me. I thought she was rather quiet and subdued when I first met her, but she certainly added to the party tonight.
Well, I don't think she was trying to add to the party at all. I think she was trying to escape something.
That's very clever of you, Eric.
Am I right?
Oh, I only met the girl 3 days ago.
3 days ago? And you invited her to the party, drove her up here, and seated her at the head table?
I thought she would make you a charming dinner party, which she did.
What's the real reason? Is she Tony Cushing's friend?
Eric, you're a charming young man. I adore to talk to you, but it's been a long night. Now, if you want to know anything about Kate, go ask her yourself.
I would if I could find her.
Maybe she's gone upstairs to bed, in which case you will have to get up very early in the morning. She told me she was taking the first and only bus from North Falls.
For where?
She comes from a town called Bellhaven, about 50 miles south of here.
Then I've been wrong.
About what?
Somewhere in the back of my head, the name Wakefield rings a very small bell.
From where?
I don't even know that.
Well, you've lived a lot of places, Eric, and you've met a lot of people.
It makes no difference. I probably won't see her again.
Someday, some girl will catch you, Eric.
Any girl can catch me, Holly. I just like to leave in the morning. I think one of your guests is looking for
you. Oh, yes, I was expecting he would.
Don't let me keep you.
Tony, darling!
Holly, I love you.
Oh, what a nice thing to hear when my feet hurt.
But
what is it, Tony, or can I guess?
Holly, it's a lot of things. You and Ned have given a wonderful party. Everybody loves you.
But
No, I'm really trying to say something. Now, you wanted to do a kindness when you invited Kate, brought her up here.
Oh, I did. How did I know it would blow up in my face? Claire, your not very devoted wife, arriving lock, stock, and barrel.
Yes, I know, but I could have handled that. It's Kate, I don't understand. Did you have any idea that she was going to make that idiotic speech tonight about the beauty of marriage?
None whatsoever, but it was lovely. It was inspired.
Toasting marriage in front of 80 people. and looking right at me. She knows what the facts are. Now, what possessed her?
You tell me, Tony.
What got into her, anyhow, carrying on like that?
Gee, Vodka.
She's a totally different girl.
Well, what are you going to do about it?
I don't know. But I'm in love with her, Holly, more than ever. Not going to let her get away.
You may have a problem.
Oh, I have a bigger one than that. Do you know where she is right now? She's talking to Stephen Wolf. Now, I want to get her away from him. He's not the kind of man she should know. What's it all about, Holly?
I hardly know the girl, Tony.
Well, I'm finding out that I really don't know her either.
Uncle Thaddeus, can I ask you something?
Don't ask for money.
It's this cold, Unc.
Nephew, you need four-way nasal spray.
Will it help?
Use as directed. Four-way provides the fastest decongestant relief possible for stuffy noses and sinuses.
Unc, that's a blast. Is it expensive?
Nah, four-way costs a darn sight less than the leading brand. You can't buy faster relief at any price.
I'm going to get some four-way.
Maybe you've got a nose for business after all.
I sweep my floor and I still hear sugar underfoot. I hate that straw broom.
That's the kind of dirt straw brooms miss. But an Oseeder angler broom would get it. Angler bristles are cut on an angle to keep more tips on the floor, and the tips are closer together. Oseeder angler gets the dirt other brooms miss.
Oseeder makes your life easier.
What do you hear from your floor?
Not a sound.
Oseeder makes your life easier.
Can I get you a cup of coffee, Kate? Or a drink?
No, thank you.
You've been rather hard to reach.
I've been busy.
And you've been warned against me by several people, haven't you?
If I'd taken their advice, I wouldn't find myself sitting in this room with you tonight, hearing this outrageous thing about my late husband.
Oh, when you've calmed down a little, Kate, you'll realize that I have run a risk in telling you. I've served a prison sentence. I don't want to be mixed up now in what Tom did all those years. But I was deeply attached to the boy, as you know. I feel it is my duty to give you all the help I can now.
You have to prove first that what you've told me is true.
Oh, Kate. I can't help you. If all you do is you deny knowing anything about it.
I do deny it completely.
Well, do you think anyone will believe you?
I don't care what anyone believes. It's the truth.
Kate, you sailed with your husband through those Caribbean islands for more than 2 years. You had a small boat that the two of you could manage. Yet you maintain you had no idea what Tom's business was?
No. If he had one.
Well, I'm on your side, Kate. Now, don't keep fighting me. I have proof that Tom was a link in running cocaine in from South America to this country.
How could he? I was with him all the time.
Yes, and you never sailed up to a boat that was anchored offshore, and then perhaps in a few days sailed to another one?
Oh, of course we did. Tom knew everybody who had boats down there. He'd take mail and supplies out to them.
Yeah, and duffel bags, perhaps. And then pick up other duffel
bags. No, it's not true. Tom would never run drugs. He was hooked himself, but he hated it all. He fought the whole business. Why would he do anything like that? His father gave him all the money he needed.
Well, maybe he was fighting his father harder than he was fighting the habit.
Oh, you are cruel. I don't know where you got hold of all this or why you've come into my life now to bring it all up, but it's past. Tom's dead. No one can hurt him any longer.
But they can hurt you.
What have I got to do with it? This is insane.
You were with him. Tom was what is known in drug running as a skimmer. He would take a little from the top or the bottom of each shipment he handled.
This is utterly fantastic.
Well, it amounted eventually to a sizable stock. The ring he worked for allowed him a small amount for his own needs. It's the way they keep young men like Tom working for them.
But eventually they became suspicious, and then Tom died with that stockpile. Still exists. No one has found it.
Who told you this?
Tom himself.
Tom? When?
Right after the accident. He looked on me as a friend. He had to talk to someone. He knew he wasn't going to live much longer.
Is that everything?
Except for this. These carved wooden beads. They're yours.
Yes. Yes, they are. These are the letters of my name. See? Right here on each bead.
No, wait. I'm keeping these. The first set I brought you are copies. The wooden halves were glued together. Now, these unscrew, you see?
I never knew that.
So each bead could hold enough cocaine for Tom's needs.
No!
Oh, yes. You carried it for him.
What do you really want of me, Stephen?
I want the location of that stockpile of drugs. I want to know where Tom hid it.
I have no idea.
You have. Or you would find out for me. Either way... Yeah. Who is it?
Kate, everybody's looking for you. Now, you really mustn't monopolize us, Stephen.
Kate, my dear... You look ill.
Faces of Love has been brought to you by the Ocedar Angler Broom. It gets the dirt other brooms miss. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse. The Author's Studio presents the radio dramatization of William Makepeace Thackeray's classic novel, Vanity Fair, the story of the clever and charming adventuress, Becky Sharp. In a moment, our author, Mr. Thackeray. The Author's Studio is brought to you by Ban Roll-On, America's leading roll-on antiperspirant. Say, did you know that a 1.5-ounce bottle of Ban Roll-On antiperspirant costs about the same, yet lasts longer than most 5 or 6-ounce sprays? Listen to this. Averaging 2 seconds of spray per application each side each day, the longest lasting of the leading antiperspirant sprays will give you 37 days of protection. On the average, Ban Roll-On will give you 51 days. That's 38% longer. And tests have shown that Ban Roll-On will help stop wetness better than most leading sprays. Ban Roll-On, so economical, yet so effective.
As anyone knows, hair is only as beautiful as the condition it's in. Natural Wear Miss Clairol Shampoo Formula conditions while it colors, makes your hair healthy looking and manageable while it adds natural glowing color that covers gray. And it's so easy to use. Just shampoo it in for fresh young color that stays color true week after week. For conditioning hair color, the best it can be, at any price, Natural Wear Miss Clairol, to know you're the best you can be.
Your servant, ladies and gentlemen, William Makepeace Thackeray, author of Vanity Fair. Well, having divulged that information, let's face up to another of Becky Sharp's little schemes. It's a rather large scheme, would you not say, my dear listeners? Here again, her own words to Giles.
Miss Crawley's unfortunate illness, treatment by an ignorant country doctor, and my tender nursing of the invalid may take Miss Crawley and you and me to London.
Nor does she stop there, our sly Becky, blinking large green eyes, speaking in dulcet voice. She makes of the bumbling doctor an unwitting ally.
Dear Dr. Smollett, Miss Crawley is suffering from too much rich food and alcoholic beverages, but you dare not hint such a thing to a gentlewoman. I will tell you in strictest confidence, however, that she has other ailments she'll not admit to. Always, her London physician orders her leached and cupped. You are so wise, sir. I'm sure you'll do the same.
Oh, Becky, Becky. To have the poor lady thus treated when there's no need. To that objection, Becky would surely reply.
Ah, but there is need, Mr. Thackeray. It will do her no harm, and without it to weaken her, she'll be well by the morrow. How, in one day, am I to prove myself indispensable as her nurse?
Ah, well, Rebecca will go her own way, despite my opinion. Now then, Dr. Smollett has come and gone. Sir Pitt has been refused entrance to his sister's room. Fuming, the baronet waits in the antechamber for Rebecca to emerge. At long last...
There you be, miss. Out here best part of an hour, cooling the eels.
Can you not muffle your temper till I close the door? Do you want to worsen, Miss Crawley?
Becky, Becky, how be me poor sister?
Sleeping at last.
What ails her? What's brought her down? Ask that fool of a doctor, but he don't know.
Fool of a Becky don't know. I do know she's very ill.
Terrible ill, is she? How has he took her?
Her symptoms. Is that what you want, Sir Pitt?
I do.
Feverish, liverish, very weak, pains in the head and stomach, cannot eat a mouthful and keep it.
Oh, pity, pity. Fair breaks me heart to hear it. She'd not see me, Becky.
Fiddle faddle, Sir Pitt. Do stop play acting and ask the question you want to ask.
What be that?
Will she die? And don't pretend that isn't what has you out of your head. You're in a fever of expectation.
Now, Miss Becky...
You don't care tuppence about an illness. Care only what legacy will be yours if she does die.
Will she die, Becky?
She will.
Die? You think it, do you?
I know it.
Well, well, well. Oh, poor old girl off the hook.
As we all one day will die.
How much do you reckon she left me in her...
What? We're all bound to breathe our last one day, aren't we? And one day, but not now, predictable, so will Miss Crawley.
Come and blast you, Becky Sharp. Pull me leg proper, you did. She ain't dying, eh?
The illness will not prove fatal, sir, and I suggest you feign pleasure, for the Reverend Bute Crawley approaches.
Him? Yeah. Pious, mealy-mouthed parson. He comes, I go.
Good afternoon, sir.
Oh, I have only just heard the tragical news. How is my dear sister?
Save your breath, Bute. Tain't tragical. And she's your dear sister in a pig's eye.
Sir, in spite of your brother's rudeness, he is most anxious about Miss Crawley.
Oh, pray tell me how she fell.
She'll not expire, Reverend Crawley.
Oh, what a blessing. Mm. I will go in now and say a prayer at her bedside.
I'm sorry, sir. She'll allow no one near save me.
What?
And will take medicine from no other hand.
Young woman, it is you who do not want me at her side. Oh, look to your mortal soul, Miss Sharp, and do not bar the way of a clergyman of the Church of England.
If you don't fear her wrath leading her to revise her will, then by all means enter, sir.
Revise my apologies, Miss Sharp. My extreme distress regarding my sister's health led me to speak thoughtlessly. I ask your indulgence. Oh, pray believe I am most grateful for your ministrations to the dear sufferer within. I give you a good afternoon.
Well, I may not be fit to pronounce on the subject, but let Reverend Bute Crawley look to his own immortal soul. Dear listeners, in what condition are your souls? Ponder upon that until I return to you shortly. The Reverend Gentleman has hastened to the rectory. The Reverend Gentleman's lady is now privy to the situation at the manor. And both, we may be sure, are remembering warmly last Sunday's sermon, Love Thy Neighbor.
Hussy!
Jade Strumpet!
In Mrs. View?
I had my suspicions from the beginning. The first moment I saw that creature, what did I say?
You say considerable, Martha. Am I to recollect all?
I vowed she was a Jezebel. A sly wretch with dreadful designs in view.
I do now recall. And recall, I asked you then, as now, not to use those wicked words. Now, as then, you will disregard the pain your language causes me.
This is a time to quibble over words. Miss Sharp's designs are now clear. You heard her today. You saw her last night. Can you doubt she means to insert herself into Matilda's affection?
She has already done so, my dear.
And then insert herself into Matilda's will? Do you doubt?
Oh, would I could.
Oh, that vile creature.
Now, Martha, we must turn the other cheek. It becomes our brethren to dwell in peace.
Do not twit me with Bridgman, sir. I will not endure it. Be quiet or go apart.
Oh.
I must think of some way to open Matilda's eyes.
Oh, pray, how will you do it? Tell my sister, Miss Sharp, cost her for her money?
Mm-hmm.
And what will Matilda answer, madam?
She will thank me.
Or she will say, and she will be right, that you and I are no better.
What has come over you? Why should we not gain from her will as well as Pitt and Rawdon? But this pickpocket, this governess, who is she to take money out of the family?
She is what we are, poor.
But she is not kindred. Oh, you're right. I cannot say it to Matilda. I must approach her some other way. How, Butte? How?
Wait, I am reminded of something else you said soon after Miss Sharp came to the hall. It was to do with the fact that she was sent here from Miss Pinkerton's school. Your school.
Oh, my dear, yes. I said I would go to Miss Pinkerton, inquire into Rebecca Kershaw's character and history.
Ah.
She was indentured to the school for years. There's bound to be something shameful in her past, and Miss Pink will know it.
Oh.
Matilda cannot but listen. Oh, why did I not go before?
Oh, a pity you did not. We might have been spared this thorn in our flesh.
It's not too late. How providential you thought of it, my love. As soon as ever I can dress, I go to Chiswick.
Oh, I've had the carriage waiting.
Will you drive with me?
Oh, no, my dear. I shall remain here, say my prayers, and apply myself to next Sunday's sermon. The topic has just come to me. Who diggeth a pit shall fall therein. Psalms 14.
Mrs. Bute's ordinary face lights with an extraordinary smile at the prospect of Rebecca in a pit. Tomorrow, Miss Pinkerton obliges. Oblige me, faithful listeners, by returning here to your ever devoted servant, William Makepeace Thackeray.
Has been brought to you by Natural Wear Miss Clairol. To know you're the best you can be. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse. Not nice to eavesdrop, but it's fun. So let's check in on the comedy of errors at the Baxters. On the Little Things in Life, brought to you by Final Net, gives your hair a great long-lasting hold.
This is what aerosol hairspray sounds like. This is what Final Net sounds like. The big difference in the way they sound is the big difference in the way they work. Final Net is not an aerosol. It's concentrated to give you a great long-lasting hold. There are no wasteful propellants. That makes it economical, too. 8 ounces of Final Net go as far as 24 ounces of aerosol hairspray. You get a great hold at a great price. Final Net, the first sensible alternative to aerosol hairspray.
Do you think all antiperspirants are basically the same? Well, Ban Roll-On antiperspirant may just change your mind. Take effectiveness, for instance. Tests have shown that Ban Roll-On antiperspirant will actually help stop wetness better than most leading sprays. Make your own test soon. Pick up a bottle of Ban Roll-On, and you may discover what we've shown in tests. Ban Roll-On antiperspirant. Proof that not all antiperspirants are created equal.
Where's the Sunday paper?
The Sunday paper?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know, dear. It must be still around here someplace. I haven't thrown anything out.
Well, it's not in the living room.
Well, I haven't thrown it out, that I know. Must be around here somewhere. What part did you want?
The news section.
Oh. Well, why don't you read tonight's paper? News will be more up to date anyhow.
Because I saw something in yesterday's paper that I wanted to say.
Oh, I see. Well, you just have to look around then, dear.
I don't know why you can't leave the Sunday paper lying around for a few days.
All over the living room?
Oh, come on. It never is all over the living room. I bring the Sunday paper home, and everybody makes a dive for it. Most of the time, I'm left with the want ad section by the time I sit down to read it.
Well, I can't help that, dear.
Have you seen the Sunday paper, Aunt Maggie?
Oh, yes. I read most of it yesterday. Much as I could. My goodness, the Sunday newspapers get bigger and bigger. You can hardly lift them, let alone read them.
I know.
Oh, you needn't save the Sunday paper for me. I read all I want to.
No. Bob wants it.
Oh, what part do you want?
The news section. There was something in it I wanted to save.
Well, let's look around.
Actually, I'd like to see all of it. As I said, I bring it home, then everybody grabs a section, and usually I'm left with
sir,
the one.
Yes, sir, you said that.
Yeah, well, it's true.
Well, all right. I think I have the book section upstairs in the bedroom. I'll go out and look.
Now, wait a minute. Huh? I was reading the gardening section. What did I do with it? Well, it that may be in my room, too.
I want the news section.
Oh, why don't you read today's paper if you want the news?
Look, I would like to see the Sunday paper.
All right. Now, don't get so excited.
Yes. My goodness. You get more like your Uncle Marvin every day. He had such a nasty disposition.
Oh,
well, Bob doesn't really have a nasty disposition, Aunt Maggie.
Well, he certainly gets awfully upset over the littlest things.
Well, quite frankly, I do not think it is a trivial thing when this happens every week. I mean to say, I get up Sunday mornings, drive down to the village store, lug home the paper, and by the time I settle down to read it, everybody's
honey,
got everything.
Honey, you have already said that now twice.
Yeah, well, if I keep repeating it, somebody will hear me.
Well, I'm certainly hearing. Now, here's some papers over here on the window seat. Oh, let's see. Did you look through these?
Yes. And they aren't Sundays.
Oh, no. Let's see. Now, these are the ones that I saved. Oh, I think you wanted a couple of recipes out of these, Aunt Maggie.
Oh, yes. Well, give them to me, and I'll cut the recipes out right now while I'm thinking about it.
Well, what I have been trying to say is that I don't see why every Monday morning the Sunday paper has to be scooped up and thrown out. You never save anything. For some reason, you have this mania for grabbing up newspapers and throwing them out before anybody has a chance to read them.
I like to keep the living room picked up. Now, you had all day. All day yesterday to read the paper.
I did not have all day. You seem to have forgotten we had company.
I haven't forgotten. And if your sister's going to drop in with all her kids, I wish she'd phone and let us know they're coming.
Yes, my goodness. Peggy and I spent the morning picking up the house. Those children were into everything.
Everything.
That little Bobby got into my closet and just threw all my shoes into the middle of the bedroom.
Terrible. You know, he's only three, but you have to keep an eye on him every minute.
I was discussing the Sunday paper.
Did you notice all the hints that Dorothy dropped about Thanksgiving, Aunt Maggie?
I certainly did. Are you going to have them all here?
Well, not if I can help it. I think it's just plain time Dorothy had everyone at their place. I told her I said that.
I was discussing the Sunday paper.
Well, I don't know where it is. You'll have to look around.
I looked. In the basement, I looked in the back entry, I looked upstairs, and all I found was the travel section in Debbie's room.
Well, I think the book section. is on the table by my bed. I think I was reading that last
night. I want the news section.
What is in it that is so important?
It's just an item I wanted to save. Oh, well, I'm going over to Fred's and see if they still got their paper.
All right, but I doubt it. When the paper went up in price, I think Fred decided not to take it anymore.
Oh, well, then I'll go down to the store and see if Don has a paper left over.
All right. I wonder what's so important he wanted to save.
Pig, I just thought of something.
Right there. Now, I wonder if I put the paper he wants under the dog's water dish.
I was just wondering if I took the paper he wants and wrapped up the garbage.
The garbage, but we put garbage in those plastic bags.
Yes, but we had cantaloupe this morning. You know how that smells, the rinds and everything.
Yeah.
And you just leave it open in the garbage bag. I know I wrapped the rinds and the seeds in something.
Oh, come on, Aunt Meg. He's going to have a fit. Oh. Come on, let's dig through the garbage can and see if we can find it.
Hi, I'm trimming my little girl's hair. Mine was the same beautiful chestnut color once, before the grays started sneaking in. But I discovered Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It covered my grays without changing my natural color, and it has no peroxide. Loving Care made my hair shinier and softer, too. Our hair looks almost alike now, except mine has no bubble gum in it.
Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It's good for your hair.
In my house, we've got a fully automatic kitchen. Me. And the worst job I've got to do is scrape and scrub that dirty oven.
Well, there's a different way to clean your oven that's less work. The overnight way, with Mr. Muscle.
Promises, promises.
It's true. With Mr. Muscle, you just spray it on at night, and while you sleep, its self-scouring foam lifts up the grease and grime.
That's a good idea.
So next morning, you just wipe clean.
You know, I've got a feeling that Mr. Muscle's going to be a good man to wake up to.
It certainly seems silly to go to all this trouble.
No, it isn't, dear. Check the radiators in the dining room. The pages I draped over those must be dry enough to iron.
Bob's been gone so long, he must have found somebody who had Sunday paper left over.
No, more likely he's sitting down at the village store having a cup of coffee and talking about wives who throw out papers before husbands have read them. Here, how does this section look?
It looks as though it had been sopping wet and iron dry.
Right. Well, at least he can read it. Take the pages out of the oven, Aunt Maggie, would you please? I don't want them too dry or they won't iron at all, you know.
Just a minute. Let me get the pages from the dining room radiators.
If he wants to say something important from the paper, I wish he'd tell me. Oh, something he's worried about, I suppose.
Oh, you know men. Always worried about business.
Well, gee, this page is so wet, I ripped it a little.
Well, I'll get some tape. Oh, you wanted the one from the oven.
Oh, yes, please.
This section is just right. This is too bad.
Give it here. Let me run the iron over. After this, Aunt Maggie, please don't use newspapers to wrap garbage,
Of course, a habit, I guess. That's what I do back home. My garbage has to be wrapped and tied.
Might use plastic bags.
They cost money. And I save where I can.
Well, I think we're in fair shape here anyhow.
That's good, because Bob just drove in.
Oh, dear. Well, let's get it put together. See, page 15. 36.
No. That goes inside this one.
I
think it still smells of cantaloupe.
Well, at least he can read it. Oh, poor dear. Look out the window. Is he carrying a newspaper after all our work?
No.
Oh, good.
No. And he just slammed the car door, so I guess he's still in a temper.
Oh, there.
You fold the paper together, and I'll put the ironing board away.
Well, don't rush. We're going to have to tell him the truth anyway.
Oh.
You know, the paper just reeks of cantaloupe. It really does.
I will take all the blame.
Oh, you're not even going to take all the blame.
Yes, well, no Sunday papers left over at the store, so I drove over to Jim Norton, and his wife had thrown theirs out already, too.
Relax. Here you are.
And it's all my fault.
And Maggie, don't worry about it.
No, it's my fault. I wrapped up the cantaloupe rinds in it this morning. We had to fish it out of the garbage.
However, we have dried it, and we have ironed it, and we present it to you.
Come on.
Well, after all the fuss you raised, I certainly would like to know what is so important that you wanted to say.
Well, I didn't say it was important.
What did you say?
I just said I wanted to save a little item that I'd read, that's all.
Well, all right, here it is. What item was it?
Well, I'll have to look through the paper. I don't know exactly which page it was on.
Well, I was half reading it as I ironed each page, and I must say I didn't see anything worth saving.
Well, it was just something I thought was kind of funny, that's all. I wanted to take it to the office to show Carl. No, it's not on this page.
What was it about?
Yes, we're certainly dying to know what it is.
For all our work.
No. Oh, for Pete's sake, I know I read it. It was this side of the page, near the bottom.
I think it is so maddening to look for something in the paper that you know you just read, and then you never can find it.
No, that is so true.
Here.
Did you find it?
Yeah. Here it is.
What is it?
Tanzania. Park elephants get drunk.
What?
National park officials had their hands full yesterday when a herd of elephants ate some fermented fruit and got roaring drunk. Staggering around, trumpeting wildly, and amusing themselves by chasing all the smaller animals. This morning, they all had elephant-sized hangovers. I just thought it was funny, and I wanted to show it to Carl. Well, all right. I didn't know you'd find the paper and have to iron it out and all that, and so...
You know, sometimes I wonder about you.
The Little Things in Life with Peg Lynch and Bob Dryden and Margaret Hamilton as Aunt Maggie was written by Peg Lynch, directed by Warren Somerville, produced by Dick Cox and Peg Lynch, and has been brought to you by Ban Roll-On, America's leading roll-on antiperspirant. I'm Charles Woods. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse.
To have and to hold. The story of the traditional vows, the new morality, and the people caught in the conflict between them. Brought to you by Four-Way Nasal Spray. Gives you the fastest decongestant possible.
Uncle Thaddeus, can I ask you something?
Don't ask for money.
It's this cold, Unc.
Nephew, you need Four-Way Nasal Spray.
Will it help?
Used as directed, Four-Way provides the fastest decongestant relief possible for stuffy noses and sinuses.
Unc, that's a blast. Is it expensive?
Bah, Four-Way costs a darn sight less than the leading brand. You can't buy faster relief at any price.
I'm going to get some Four-Way.
Maybe you've got a nose for business after all.
If I had a nickel for every minute I've spent in a dirty oven, scraping and scrubbing, I'd be living in Fort Knox.
Well, there's a different way to clean your oven that's less work. The overnight way, with Mr. Muscle.
Oh, come on.
It's true. With Mr. Muscle, you just spray it on at night, and while you sleep, its self-scouring foam lifts up the grease and grime.
Really?
So next morning, you just wipe clean.
Well, Mr. Muscle really sounds like a good man to wake up to.
Emily?
I'm over here on the sofa.
Are you all right, honey?
Oh, I was just taking a nap.
Are you sure?
Oh, Angela, please leave your professional concern at Jefferson Hospital, will you? Hey, what are you doing here now?
Well, I have to be there tonight. They're transferring some patients from Brixton, so I'm taking a break now.
Oh, any news from Brixton? From Jason?
No, not today.
Have you been taking a nap? I mean, as a regular thing?
Well, it's not illegal, is it?
Well, not that I know. Just that it's not like you.
Angela, please. Sometimes I get the feeling you have me under a microscope.
Oh, you'd be happier if I left you alone and didn't worry about your headache.
Since I have a very good doctor in Marsh, why don't we just leave it to him?
And I promised Jason I'd keep an eye on you.
Did you know Marsh is calling in another doctor?
Oh? He told you.
I thought Jason was going to do that.
Oh, I suppose it's hopeless.
Now, just what do you mean, hopeless?
I mean, I really would like to be the first to know, and it seems I'm always at the bottom of the list.
Oh, Emily, it's just a consultation, nothing significant.
You can't say what is significant to me, either as my sister or as a nurse.
All right. I knew Jason was going to tell you when the consultation was actually set.
You knew the new doctor is a neurosurgeon?
Yes. So whatever is wrong with me is in my head.
Emily, nobody knows yet. We don't know anything for sure.
I wish Jason were here.
Well, if you really need him, he can be here in an hour. Brixton is only 100 miles away, and they can get him here by helicopter.
I don't need him. I just want him. Oh, I need him, of course, but I just miss him.
Emily, why don't you call him?
Yes, I will. I will. I wonder if he's at the hospital or at the Anthony's.
Oh, he's still staying with them?
Yes, there isn't any other place in the town. An explosion and fire leveled so much of it.
And they still haven't found out what caused it?
Well, the tank car exploded and, you know, the tracks go right down the center of the town. Mm. I think a commission's been appointed
To find the facts.
Mm-hmm.
The age of anxiety has given way to the age of the commission to find facts. Look, I'll go make us some tea while you call Jason.
All right. Let's see. Oh. He's not at the Anthony's. I hope someone there will know where he is. Oh, please answer.
Hello?
Hello, is this Mrs. Anthony?
Oh, yes, it is.
Oh, I'm Emily Carter.
Oh, hello. You just missed Jason.
Oh, dear. Do you know where I can reach him?
Well, I don't think you can. He left to check on a temporary aid station in the high school gym.
Well, it's not that important. If you could just ask him to call.
Of course.
I can't tell you how much I appreciate your taking such good care of him.
Listen, this town's probably going to give him a medal for this, Mrs. Carter.
Please, Emily.
Well, it does seem like we're old friends, even though you and I haven't met.
A disaster or an emergency just seems to telescope things, I guess.
You're right.
How are things going there?
Every day's better. The emergency housing is moving in, and the water supply's been fixed up.
Well, I know you're busy.
Oh, that's all right.
I hope to see you and Paul soon. Jason didn't know you were in Brixton. So close.
Oh, it's been a reunion for the three of us. You know, we were in Korea together.
Yes, yes, I know. Well, ask Jason to...
Don't worry, I will. He'll be back tonight.
Thanks again.
It's been our pleasure. Well, except for the explosion, of course.
Oh, yes. Well, goodbye.
Goodbye.
Couldn't you have given her the high school number?
Oh, Paul. She said it wasn't important.
Jason told her she hasn't been well. Maybe she didn't want to tell you.
He'll be back tonight.
I don't know how I would have handled this without Jason.
Seems like old times.
Yeah. It's funny how we remember all the good times in Korea and forget the bad.
Yes.
Did you think much about Jason in the past 20 years?
Oh, well, I don't know. That's a long time.
All this time, I thought he knew that you and I had gotten married after he left.
We sort of lost touch, I guess.
But Helen, you said you sent him an announcement.
Did I?
Yes. I remember it.
Well, how can you be sure?
I know I remember it because I've always wondered what he thought.
Paul, it's been so long ago.
I was sure that was why we didn't hear from him.
Oh, I thought he just got busy getting back into civilian life.
All this time I thought maybe he'd been carrying the torch for you.
That has a lovely dated sound to it.
It's funny, I even worried about calling him to help out here.
After all that time? And anyway, he's married.
How do you feel about him now, Helen?
He's an old friend. I was glad to see him.
Nothing more than that?
Paul, dear Paul, just because Jason and I had a lovely affair under wartime conditions doesn't mean I've spent the last 20 years yearning after him. Did those Brixton cases get in yet, Junior?
We got five of them.
Where are their records?
Oh, Dr. Adams has them.
Oh, good.
Oh, Angela, you're working tonight?
I split it up, Marsh.
Have you heard from Jason today?
Emily tried to reach him at Brixton, but he wasn't in.
Ah. Is she all right?
I think so.
Could I see you in my office?
Is there anything the matter?
No. I just want to talk to you.
Well...
Or we could go down to the coffee shop.
I really don't have the time, Marsh.
Okay. My office, then? Well, I'm glad you finally realized that you're not seeing me alone in my office doesn't make any sense.
I'm not so sure. What do you want to say?
No, we haven't had a chance to talk. Not for a long time.
Well, it's just as well. All we do is talk about the problem of Ginger's jealousy, and our discussion just doesn't solve anything.
All right. Let's try another subject, then.
Marsh, I'm afraid we've lost the knack.
I'd hate to think that.
How's Betsy?
Oh, not very happy. She's out and away from home as often as she can manage it.
Hasn't Cora made a difference?
Yes, in some ways. She's closer to Betsy than Ginger is. Well, Cora's afraid Betsy might run away.
Oh, no.
See, I have to find time to talk to her.
Make time, Marsh. Don't wait.
Well, we've been so loaded here. Backing up Brixton's taken a lot of our people.
But Betsy needs you.
I just wish I knew what to say to her.
Well, I always thought you had a good relationship with her.
Until lately, I did.
What does Ginger say about it?
About what?
What Cora told you, that Betsy might run away.
I haven't talked to her about it.
You haven't what?
Well, I thought maybe Cora had told her.
Marsh, look, this is something you and Ginger should talk about. Here you are telling me, and you aren't sure your wife knows? Well, that doesn't make any sense.
It does to me, in a way.
But I can't help you, or Betsy.
Angela, just talking to you helps.
Look, you just said you have so little time.
No, I mean, I have to be here, and you're here.
If Betsy does something, like run away, you're going to have to find time. Why don't you do something now to stop her? Reach her in some way.
I don't know. Look, she's not like your niece Susie.
What has that got to do with it? Of course she's different.
Sometimes I wonder if...
Look, Marsh, there isn't any way you can pass the buck on this. You're her father.
To Have and to Hold has been brought to you by Mr. Muscle, the oven cleaner that works the easy overnight way. This program has come to you from the Radio Playhouse, a DCA Productions program.